is we have to remember that, right? We have to remind ourselves that that's true. Nothing that happens to you or me this week is going to be a surprise to the Lord. All right? So if you're here this morning and you're here to worship and you're here to hear what's being preached, I can guarantee you, if you'll stop in your heart this very second and say, God, give me what I need this week, you're going to be blessed. Okay? So with that, we're going to get to the announcements. First, we'll be church council tonight after services, so those that participate in that need to be there for after services tonight. There'll be a deacons meeting tomorrow at 6 p.m. For the deacons and the pastor, and then we'll be having a business meeting on Wednesday, our monthly business meeting. But I hope you're enthusiastic about being here this morning, because we're here to worship, okay? That's what we're here to do. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to steady our hearts. So if you would, let's bow our heads. Dear God, we just thank You for this day You've given us, Lord. And we do thank You that we're here and we can freely assemble here, Lord. And I just ask You to bless this service, that You give each and every one of us exactly what we need for the week to come. That You be with Brian, Lord, and give him the strength and the words to say in this meeting of worshiping You, Lord. And again, we just thank You for all that You have done. We thank You for Your protections of this past week, and we thank You for the protections to come this week, Lord, and that we have many upon our heart, Lord, brothers and sisters, friends and family that are just in need of a healing touch, Lord, and You know exactly what they need, and You know exactly who they are. And we just ask, Lord, that Your will be done in all of our lives. And again, Lord, we just ask You to calm our hearts and our minds, and that we just focus as we begin to hear the music to direct us to You, Lord, that You would just guide and direct us, and that You would bless everyone that has prepared their hearts to hear You this morning. And in Jesus' name and for His sake we do pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. As Frank said, let's take these things that were temporal today, this week, that happened, and let's lay them at the feet of our eternal Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And He says in Psalms to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. So let's just give Him thanks and praise in all things. 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And this is hallelujah for the cross.
To the hill of Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there He bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed, the final perfect Lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war He fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls He bought, hallelujah for the cross. What good I've done could never save, my debt too great for deeds to pay, but God my Savior made a way, hallelujah for the cross. A slave to sin my life was found, but all my chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war He fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls He bought, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah, Hallelujah for the cross. And when I breathe my final breath, I'll have no need to fear that rest. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross.
You will stand if you want to take a hymnal and turn to page 139. We want to continue just to praise Jesus for going to that cross for us and dying as we sing At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed,
and did my Sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred hymn for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the words of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
The zero crime that I had done, he groaned up on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
Well,
like the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burning of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thus God,
I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Tears of my heart in thankfulness, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
The drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, till is all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
No equal, now and forever. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is.
Good singing, choir and congregation. This morning, or praise team and choir and congregation, and everybody who lifted up a voice. This morning we'll be in the book of Psalms, chapter 122, but we'll also be in Ephesians, chapter 5. And I just want to tell you that you're a good-looking congregation this morning. And it feels, huh? You knew it already, is that what he said? It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. If you're like me, you've probably blown it. Somewhere, sometime this week. You know, you kicked the dog, fussed at your spouse, and if you ain't careful, the first thing the devil tries to do is keep you out of church, and then the next thing he tries to do is to get you to walk in with your head down, feeling defeated. But because of that name, we stand in victory. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, every sin, everything, as you're turning to Psalms 122 and Ephesians chapter 5, the blood has been applied. Not just for the sins that you may have committed before you accepted Him, not just the ones that you've done up to this point, but when He died for the body of our sins. Meaning from the first one to the last one. Praise God, He carried them from His cross into His grave, and on the third day He came back up, but He left those sins in that grave. And today, if you don't know that victory, oh man, I want you to know that victory. But even more important, your Creator wants you to know that victory. And He wants you to live in that victory. Because here's the truth, and if you don't remember anything else, nobody loves you like Jesus. And nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, there is so much more He wants to do in your life. So much more. Do we have any words of praise or testimony as you're turning to Psalms 122? And then keep your finger there and go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Word of praise and testimony. Come on. Jesus didn't do nothing for you this week. Amen. Hey, just maintaining. That's what I'm realizing. If you say, I maintain today, you won. You won. Anyone else? Amen. Praise God. What? Somebody over here? Yeah, buddy, you're a sight for sore eyes, man. It's good to see you. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. That's what I'm saying, man. Y'all look good, and you know what? The best is yet to come. But we're getting closer to it. We're moving into that, living in victory. And if you're visiting with us today, you're not a visitor anymore. I mean, we've put up some new signs. Did y'all need to see the new signs today? Welcome home. We don't care where you've been. We don't care where you used to call home. This is home now. You're wanted here. You're welcome here. And if you'll give us a chance, we won't love on you a little bit if you'll let us. All righty? Any other words of praise or testimony? If you're watching by Facebook or listening by the radio, it is good to have you with us and believe that God's divinely put us together. And if you do have a prayer need, we would love to lift those needs up for you and with you. So just put it on our Facebook page and we'll do our best to lift it up. This morning, it's going to be kindly a little different type sermon. I'm going to be more tied to my notes, but instead of a title, you remember I told you, well, I feel like I don't want to preach a sermon. I feel that God gives me a message through the Holy Spirit and through His Word. And today, I want to present you with two questions. And by the end of this message, I hope that you'll be able to answer them honestly and that the answers will either confirm where you're at with the Lord or either it'll drive you to a place where you're closer to the Lord, okay? Two questions. Are you in love with your church? Are you in love with your church? And it doesn't have to be Thomas Village. I mean, we all have our different churches. We all have a place that we worship. And number two, are you devoted to your church? Are you devoted? Now, remember, when we say love, we're not talking about a tingly emotional feeling, right? True love is a commitment because the emotions will go away, the tinglies will pass, and as a husband and wife, you'll be angrier with your spouse than you will anybody else in your life. But the good thing to know is that sometimes Miss Amy would rather hit me than look at me. But at least I know after she hits me, she's still going to be there. Amen? She ain't going nowhere. And I'd never hit her. She don't deserve to be hit. When we define love, we look to Jesus, right? For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life, life without end. That Greek word there is agape, as we've talked about many times. And the best definition, as we look at Jesus, who left His throne, gave up His position in eternity to enter into His creation, what did He do? He was willing to be burdened so that we could be benefited. He was willing to be put to a hardship so that we could receive the blessing. So do we love our church today? How about are we devoted to our church? The idea of devotion is loyal affection, commitment beyond convenience, faithfulness. Do we love our church? Are we devoted to our church? I'm going to throw this one in. Do you got a church? If you don't, you have now. Listen at this, Psalms 22. I'm going to read 122. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And the title in some of your Bibles may be The Joy in the House of the Lord. And it's a Psalm of David. The first verse you're probably going to know quite well if you've ever been to church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a builder as a city that is compact together. Whither their tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment and the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Verse 7. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I come to you, Lord, and just confess my sins, confess my failures and my inadequacies. And Lord, I'm thankful that your blood and your word is greater than any condemnation, any judgmental feeling that I may feel today. Because, Lord, it's not about a feeling, but it's about the fact of who you are and what you've done in my life. And God, today I thank you for everyone that's gathered here today, whether there be first time or whether it be their 100th time, whether they be watching for the first time or listening for the first time or are regular media members. But God, I just ask you right now to take this time, let us focus on you, and Lord, let us be open to whatever you would have us to do. And God, we pray that we'll leave here today closer to you than when we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this is a psalm of King David, the shepherd, who was the poet and then became the king. And I know that as we look at this, he's specifically talking about Jerusalem. And we know that that is, quote unquote, the city of God. And then you had the temple of Solomon that was there. And that is the house of the Lord as we look at the Old Testament. But when you look at this, you see almost a description of what the New Testament church should be. Notice the first thing he says is he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The word glad means delighted, elated, filled with joy and pride. A feeling or an attitude of happiness and joy, specifically that it focuses on the fact that the joy and happiness cannot be contained, that it comes out. He's saying that, man, I'm elated when I get to go to God's house. I'm elated. The joy inside of me cannot be held back when I get to go worship my God. But notice, he calls it the house of the Lord. And then in verse 3, he says that Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact. The word compact there means joined together. It means united, but it also means magically united. It's a supernatural bond. Folks, you know what today? Most of us would not know each other was it not for the supernatural power of Jesus Christ and His saving grace. We work in all different places. We do all different jobs. Some blue collar, some white collar, some no collar, man. We got no sleeves on our shirt and all that. Tank topped it, man. But who is it that's brought us together? Jesus. That, you know what? What we may have different, Jesus trumps it all. He's greater than all. Look, it goes on in verse 4. It says, whither the tribes. You know what the word tribe there means? My people. Now, he's specifically talking about the idea of the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, the family members, the cousins and the uncles and all that. But do you know we're living in a time where we're being defined more and more by how we're different than how we're alike? And ever since COVID, and I believe it's demonic, but what have they tried to, what is the idea being? Isolate, insulate, and stay away, right? You know, God didn't create us to be like that. The idea is we look at the idea of the tribes. It means family. A group that share similar cultures and traditions. And I want to tell you what, we live in a wonderful place. I don't think there's a better place to live or grow up or to raise a family than where we at right now. But you know what? Our traditions, not just Christianity, but I'm talking about loving on your neighbor, taking food over there when somebody passes away, mowing their grass when they can't. That is a dying tradition. And we are blessed, and we need to get around people that cherish that. And you know what? That's what the church is. We are family. We are united. You're my people. I know I sound different from you, but you're still my people. Notice it goes on a little bit further. He said, now, see there, in the house of the Lord, he's excited. He can't hold it back. It's just coming out of him. And then he says, when I get to the house of the Lord, I'm with my people. There's a supernatural bond that we have together. And you know what I'm going to do when I get there? Look what it says in verse 3. It says, the testimony of Israel. You know what testimony is? Testimony is when we bear witness of what we've seen and heard. You know, like when you go to court. But in this case, we come together to tell one another, but more importantly, to tell our Creator just what we've seen Him do in our life this week and how good He's been to us. And you know what? When I was able this week to spend some time with different members and deacons and stuff like that, and just hearing their excitement about the Lord, their love of the Lord, you know what it does for me and the preacher's wife? It stirs something up inside of us. It gets us excited. And when you get around people that are excited about Jesus, you know what's going to happen? It's going to rub off on you. It's going to be like the cooties or the COVID. It's going to get all over you, and you're going to catch it. But you can bring it back with you when you come. Notice he says, I'm going to give testimony, but I'm also going to give thanks. Giving thanks here, the idea is public confession. God, you've been good to me. I may not have received everything I wanted, but I know I've not lacked. And I just want to tell you, thank you around my people. He goes on to say, and you read on a little bit further, he says this. He said, we're going to pray a little bit too, ain't we? We're going to pray that you be blessed. We're going to pray that you prosper. Where else in the world right now is somebody going to want you to be blessed and benefited? Most people, if you get blessed, get jealous. That's what we're living in right now. But praise God, we're, as a church, as the people of God, it is our duty to want to see somebody be blessed beyond us. You know that? And I want to be blessed greatly, amen? But I want you to be blessed more. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And remember, now this is David, and a lot of times we define him by his worst days. You know what I mean? When he, Uriah and all that stuff. But what did God say about him in Acts chapter 13, verse 22? He said, David is a man after my own heart. Yeah, he's a sinner. He fails. But what does it mean when God says that David is a man after his own heart? What? Yeah, he's a sinner. But basically, David loved God. He loved the things of God. And he desired to do it God's way. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that he was divine or better than us or anything like that, but it means he loved God, he loved the things of God, and he wanted to do things God's way. And this is what he says, the man who has God's heart. I was glad. I was excited. Can you say that about when you get up on Sunday morning? When you kind of get the eye boogers out and all that stuff and you realize it's Sunday. Because I tell you what happens to me most of the time. Out of every day in the week, I feel sicker on Sunday morning. It's harder for me to get up on Sunday morning. There's always a good excuse for me not to go to church. You know what I mean? But there's never been a time where I went to church, despite how I was feeling, that God did not show up. Huh? God's here right now. He is. Think about this. Let's put it in today's words, okay? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Basically, this is what, if it was Thomas Village and he came here, David would say, when Bathsheba reminded me that it was Sunday, the day that I gather with my people, the day that I get to go to Thomas Village Baptist Church or whatever your church is, I got filled with happiness. I had joy rise up within me. And you know what? That happiness and that joy, it showed on my face. It was able, you could hear it in my voice. I was elated to get to go to church. Notice, not had to go to church. Not got to go to church, but I get to go to church. Do you recognize that being a part of a church is a gift from God? Being a part of the family of God? Because you know what? He could have put us on the backside of the desert or in some other foreign country where we had to meet in homes and basements and stuff like that. But we get to get up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, on Wednesday nights, at practice on Monday nights and all that. We get to come together. We get to come to church. So let me ask you, Do you love your church? Are you devoted to your church? So this got me to thinking. Listen what David says about the house of the Lord. Psalms 23, verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. You know what? We're going to be in His house for all of eternity. If you know Jesus. So you better learn to love your church. Because we're just going to change addresses when everything's over. Listen at this one. Psalms 26, 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house, where you dwell, and the place where thine honor dwells. Now think about it. What is honor? It's when you make much or you recognize how awesome somebody else is. Ain't that what we're supposed to do here? We're not to focus on the trivial. We're not to bring the outside in. We're to come in to His presence. You know what the word sanctuary means? A place of safety. A place of rest. Everything out there can stay out there because I'm going in to God's house. I'm going to meet with Him. It's all about that name. Listen, Psalms 27 verse 4. Remember, this is a man after God's own heart, right? He loves God. He loves the things of God. And he wants to do the things God's way. Psalms 27, 4. One thing I have desired, O Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. He's saying, when he said, the one thing I've desired, the one thing that I'm going to seek, he's saying, this is my aim in life. This is what my target is. And that's to be in your house, seeking after you, and to learn more about you. Psalms 84, 4. Blessed are they that dwell in the house of the Lord. They will still be praising. You know, it's easy to complain. Isn't it? You know why? Because it's natural. That's who we are. But it's hard to say how good God is. Because sometimes you don't want to say it. Because you know what? Life ain't fun sometimes. Matter of fact, life's hard. And life is not always fair. But in the midst of all that, He's still God. He's still worthy of praise. He still does all things well. And then it goes on to say this in Psalms 84. Verse 10, and a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. And I would rather be the doorkeeper in your house than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, this is the king. He's saying, I'd rather just be a doorstop than anywhere else. At your house. Do we have that heart? Do we have the love? Do we have the devotion to God's house? You're saying, well, Brian, this ain't really God's house. It's just a place that's brick and mortar and land and all that. Yeah, I get it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to tell you about my week. Can I tell you a little bit about my week? I've had a blessed past couple of days. Friday, I had the honor of having a church member sit in my office and tell me how much they love Thomas Village Baptist Church. How much did they believe God has told them that 2023 is the year of flourishing for Thomas Village Baptist Church. How that they believe that God is going to bring a refreshing and growth and a power into our church. And then they also told me of their commitment to help bring it on. Wow. Wow. Then I left there and I was able to sit with a deacon for a few hours. And we looked at the potential We looked at some obstacles that we need to climb over. But we also looked at the best days. That they're there. They're within reach. And then while I was with him, I began to hear an assurance of his commitment to God and his commitment to God's house, which is Thomas Village Baptist Church, and his plan to see the vision become a reality. Then yesterday, my day began. I was at Recovery Through Christ, and I was able to sit down with a man who believed in false gods. Thor, Nordic, you know, Loki and all that. And I was able to sit down with him, and I had a Bible that I never towed anywhere. Never. But I couldn't find my Bible. You know what I mean? And so I get down there with him, and I'm able to go with the Romans Road. I said, you know, if you ever want to get somewhere, you need a map. You need to know the destination and how to get there. And we went through the Romans Road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God, while we were yet sinning, Christ demonstrated His love for us by dying on the cross. And I looked at that man and I said, what's stopping you, man? Why won't you get saved? And this is what he said. And the Spirit of God was all over him. This is what he said. He said, I just don't want to look like I'm working the program. I want it to be real. And you know what I said? I respect that. But I believe by Wednesday he's going to be saved. I believe he's going to know Jesus. And then I was able to spend the afternoon with a couple other leaders in our church. And I listened to their vision, their commitment, their expectation. And my wife, when we left, there's just something stirred up in us. It helped us. It was water that helps us go on a little bit further. But while all this was going on, things kept coming into my mind. Questions. What about the rest of the villagers? Not the YMCA villagers, but the Thomas villagers. Can they say, will they tell me that they're excited? Can they say, will they say, I was glad when it was time to go to our church? Are they expecting awesome things for 2023? Do they love our church? Is it a pleasure for them to tell others about their house of the Lord? And then I got to thinking, well, can they? Can we? Can I? And you know what? Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can say. And I'll say this. You know, there's some things, it ain't no fun, right? But I love coming to church. Sundays and Wednesdays are my most looked forward to days. And that's genuine. That's not preacher talk. That's not a point in a sermon. But I count myself privileged to be a part of Thomas Village Baptist Church. And it's important, like we said, I know that Thomas Village is not the one and only house of the Lord. Matter of fact, if we want to be truthful about it, it's just a physical building. And there's nothing about it that is godly in and of itself. In fact, God is so awesome, He cannot dwell in brick, mortar, and man-made things. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, he says, but will God live on the earth? Even heaven, the highest of heavens, cannot contain you, much less a building. And this is a beautiful campus, and it's a wonderful campus, and we are blessed to have it. But here's the thing. While God will not dwell in houses of mortar and brick, He lives inside of every one of us. You understand that? That the Creator Himself abides within me. And that's where the love for His house comes from. It's not natural. Like I said, on Sundays and Wednesdays, I feel worse than other days of the week. Because my flesh is sinful. And it wants to do anything else against God. But listen, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you understand that you're God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Hallelujah. That which cannot be contained in all of creation abides within me. How awesome is that? That there is a power and a presence inside of me that all that we know cannot contain, but yet He dwells within us. And then Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6, but Christ was faithful as the Son over His household. And we are that household if we hold on to the courage and the confidence of our hope. You see what it is? We don't go to church. We are the church. And on Sundays, we don't go to church. We bring the church. When we come together, that's when Thomas Village is the house of the Lord. And it's one another. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name. Do you understand this? That we could meet on the backside of a hayfield and still be the house of the Lord. And we've got to recognize how awesome it is that God has given you to me. And you may not like it, but He's given me to you as well. Whether you receive it or not. See, and you know, so while Thomas Village is not a literal house of God, we are the body, the local body, that God has called here to love, to serve, to grow, and to be devoted. It's a sad and disheartening trend, and I was seeing it before COVID, and it began maybe a generation above me, but really in my generation. And that is, especially since COVID and the new normal, good and godly people, Christians, have forgotten the importance and the love of the local church. How much importance He puts on the church. Not us. How much love He has for the church. And here's the thing. What are our names? Christian, Christ-like. If Jesus loves the church, and if Jesus says the church is important, and we say we're His image, we act like Him, we talk like Him, we think like Him, then shouldn't the church be important and loved by me? Listen, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands unto the Lord. We ain't going to get on that topic, I promise. For the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so are wives to submit to their husbands in everything. Now, the submission begins when we love our wives like Jesus loves the church. That's where it starts. But it goes on. Look there in verse 27. Jesus did this to present her holy, cleaning her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or without wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and without blame. In the same way, husbands are to what? Love their... Read that with me. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Continue, verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but provides and cares for it. Here we go. Just as Christ does for the church. Since we are members of His body, for this reason, a man will leave father and mother. In verse 32, and it says, this mystery is profound. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. You know, sometimes we can read Scripture so much and we'll catch that topical where He talks about the relationship between the husband and the wife here. And then we'll think, well, I got this, right? We got this. But in this passage, there's a deeper truth. That, you remember he talks about the mystery? Well, the mystery is not about a husband and wife. That's natural, right? I mean, man, when a man loves a woman, you know, old Percy Sledge and all that kind of stuff. That's not a mystery, man. The mystery is Christ in His church. It's profound. It's deep. And you know what? If we can grab a hold of it, we're going to be in them best days. We'll be there. Think about it. God uses the most fundamental relationship, the most fundamental building block of society, to teach us about the way He loves His church, right? The second oldest relationship. If we go back to Genesis, the first relationship is between Adam and God, right? What's the second one? Adam and Eve. Husband and wife. God uses the relationship of the husband with his wife to illustrate and to get us to understand just how much Jesus loves His church. But why would God use that relationship? Because it's the most foundational. The husband and the wife is Christ in the church. And I got to think about this. Because as I get older, and the more Amy invests herself into me, and the more I invest myself into her, the more then I understand what love truly is. I understand how much she means to me. How vital she is to my life. And I'm going to be honest with you. I love my baby girl and I love my son. But not like I love my wife. I love my mama. And I love my daddy. To the extent that it scares me when God calls them on to glory. But I don't love them like I love my wife. And as we get closer to one another and we grow, the love that I have for her becomes undescribable and almost scary. Don't mess with her. I realize how beneficial and how life-changing her in my life is. And if I feel that way about my bride, how does Jesus feel about Thomas Village? And do we feel the way that He feels about His house? Pay attention now. The devil's trying to get you off somewhere. But this is about our future. This is about what God wants to do, not only in our church, but in your home, with your family. The Bible says that Jesus is jealous. He don't want anything else. Listen, the word church is made up of two words in the Greek. Ek and lesia. Ek means out. Lesia means to call. Put them together, you have ekklesia, or what we call church, which is the called out. And it's used 115 times in the New Testament. And 110 of those times are specifically about Christians. Those that have been called out. Those that have been separated by Jesus. And you see this beginning at the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia, the called out ones, as He seen fit. And another thing that I realize, again, Thomas Village is not the only church that God loves, that Christ is jealous over. But there's not another one that He's more loving or more jealous over. Now see, if we look in the New Testament, there's two churches, right? The first ecclesia is the church universal. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 through 19. Remember, He said, your name is Simon, son of Bar-Jonah, blessed because of the flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. And I say unto you, Peter, on this rock I will build my ecclesia. Not on the fact that Peter was the first pope. No, it's the confession that Peter made. The truth that he declared. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. That is the rock that we're built upon today. And see, that ecclesia is from the Old Testament first believer, I believe it was Adam and Eve, because see, they may not have known the name Jesus of Nazarene, but they knew the promised Messiah. He's going to bruise his head and you're going to bruise his heel. And that church goes all the way up to the, when Jesus comes back and he carries the church out of here, right before that, somebody's going to say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner." And that'll be the last one. And that is the universal church. The whole, I'm going to say it, the Catholic church. That's what Catholic means. The whole, the entirety of. But now, remember I said that ecclesia is used at least 110 times specifically talking about Christians, right? But only of those 110 times, only about 20 or 30 times does it reference the universal church. You want to guess what the next 65 to 70 are? The church local. The ecclesia. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says this, "That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways as I teach them everywhere in every ecclesia." Every church. And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians 16, 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, I directed the ecclesia of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day you do this and that." But you see what he's saying there. He's not talking about from Adam to the last one. He's talking about the first Christian church of Corinth. And he says, you're doing it the same way as the first church of Galatia did it. Matter of fact, all the epistles, they were written to a local church. Romans, the church at Rome. Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the church at Corinth. Galatians, the church at Galatia. Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. Philippians, same thing. And then, when you look over in the book of Revelation, you remember it talks about Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. They were real churches. The word epistle means a letter. And so when you say the epistle of Galatia, the letter to the church of Galatia. So think about this. When we just look at usage and reference, it's the local church that God has said, "I'm going to use you to touch the world. I'm going to use you." You see, it's the community church. It's the church down the holler. It's the church down the road. It's the local church that God has used. And I'm going to say something right now, and I ain't got stats to prove it. But when we get to heaven, it's not going to be the 3,000, 4,000, 100,000 churches that's made the biggest difference around this world. It's going to be the 30, 40, 50 member churches, man, that may not have meant much on this in the eyes of this world, but in the eyes of our Savior, man, they've changed the face of the world. And that's who we are. He says, "You're my body." And remember, it's not this building, it's us. If you're saved, God's give you a gift. He says that we're the body and each one of us are members. Like eyeballs, ears, noses, and teeth. You know what? Pull my eyeball out and I ain't going to see a doggone thing. And that's the same way. If we try to be separated from the body, we have no place to use our gift. We have no place to use our gift. So I want you to think about this. Remember, the church is Jesus' bride. I want you to think about this. How much did Jesus pay for His bride? It said that He gave His very life and His blood. There was no price too high. He paid it. He determined the worth of Thomas Village, not us. How much was He willing to give up for His bride? He gave up heaven. He gave up angels saying, "Holy, holy, holy," to have people spit on Him and to pluck out His beard. How great were His commitments and His promises to His bride. Wife, I love you so much that I'm going to take your punishment. Wife, I love you so much I'm going to break natural law. On the third day, I'm going to get up out of the grave so that you and me can be together. Wife, I love you so much and I want to be with you so much that I'm going to go to another realm. And in that realm, I'm going to build us a house. And then when I'm done, I'm going to break natural law again. I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you with me to that realm. Wife, and when I come back to get you, it ain't going to be no limo. There ain't going to be no horse and carriage. But I'm bringing the army of angels with me. And we're going to take you home. So let's bring it to a point. We're going to finish right here. How bad have I been? Bad. Jesus loves His bride, the church, so much that He paid the highest price, the greatest sacrifice, and kept the biggest commitments and promises, right? As those who bear His name, as His children, as a reflection of Him, how much do we love His church? How much are we prioritizing His house in our lives? I want to read something from 1997. How many of you were here in 1997? I graduated that year. You wouldn't have liked me then. This is the week of March 16th to March 19th. Sunday morning, Kelly Franklin accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and seven other people got baptized. Sunday night, Tara Dishner, Linda Arwood, Lydia Arwood, and Courtney Roach accepted Jesus Christ, and eight were baptized. Monday, March 17th, Dale Edwards accepted Jesus Christ and was baptized, and there was another rededication. March the 18th, Tuesday, Connie Compton, Cheyenne Osborne, Lindsey Crabtree, Matthew Roten, Laura Harris, Brandon Sturgill, Jacob Arwood, and Joseph Arwood all accepted Jesus Christ, and there was four baptisms. Wednesday, March 19th, Travis Shoup, Jeffrey Edwards, Kendra Stanley, Sheena Osborne, Mary Carter, Mary Jane Carter, Eric Vincent, John Franklin, all accepted Christ, seven salvations, and five baptisms. Total, 27 baptisms, 20 salvations, five rededications. And if that is the harvest, what was the sowing being like? But let me ask you this. God wants to do greater than that now. You know what? I believe God wants to make that the second best week in the history of Thomasville. But can I ask you, those of you that were here in 1997, does Thomas Village have the same heart now as then? Do we have the same hunger to know Christ and to be as close to Him as the hunger was then? How about that love? Are we willing to be burdened so that someone else can be benefited and blessed in our house, the Lord's house? How about our devotion? Are you as committed now as you were then? Because see, it's the same house. It's His house. And again, our best days are ahead. If we'll do it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Man, I was excited. I was happy. The joy could not be contained when I was able to go to the house of the Lord. So I'm going to ask our song director, and I'm going to ask our piano player to come right now. The first thing I want to ask you today is that, like I said, This building is not the church. We, His children, are the church. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not only are you not the church because you don't have His Spirit within you, but you're dying and going to hell. Bottom line. But Jesus loves you so much that He doesn't want you to go to hell. And that's why He came to this earth. That's why He gave up everything. That's why He died on the cross and rose on the third day. He did the hard stuff, the stuff we can't do. And today, I ain't got my wallet. But nobody wants my tissue rag. But if you did want my tissue rag, I wouldn't make you pay for it. I'd just give it to you. Matter of fact, I wouldn't let you pay for it. And that's what Jesus says. You know what? There's nothing you can do to earn this gift. But if you're willing to receive it, I'll give it to you. And you know what? That don't mean you're not going to sin again. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But what it means is this. It'll never come up again with Him. He makes a promise. I'll never bring it up. As far as the east is from the west. So if you don't know, I'm going to ask you to bow your head. I never do this, but I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, just stick your hand up in the air right now because you don't know how awesome that does for my heart. Okay, put your hand down. Maybe you don't know. Are you willing just to slip it up right now? Maybe not. Right now, just stick it up. I ain't coming to you. I just want to pray for you. Somebody. Awesome. All right, pick your heads up. Now, here's the next thing. Next thing is this. Do you have a church home? Do you have a church home? Because like I said, God gave us the local church because we couldn't learn how He loves just through the universal church. Our minds aren't big enough and our lives aren't long enough. That's why He gives us the local church, so that we fall in love with one another. We fall in love with Him. And you know what today? You can look, but I don't think you're going to find a better one than right here. And I believe that there's some people in here right now that God's been saying, you need to just say, God wants you here. God wants me here. And it ain't about all the votes and stuff like that. It's just about you saying, I know this is where I'm supposed to be at. The next thing is this. The two questions. Be honest. Do you love your church? Number two, are you devoted to your church? Because if all of us will say, I'm trying, and I'm willing. We're fixing to be in them best days. We're fixing to see them. Maybe today, you need to rededicate. I ain't loved the church like I should. I ain't loved Jesus like I should. See, that when we're not loving the church like we should, we're not right with Jesus. That's the thing. So right now, we're just going to play a song. I'm going to come down here, I'm going to stand up front. If you love your church, pray for your church. You can do it where you're at. You can come down here. If you're devoted to your church, be committed. Be there. Be here. Because right now, churches are dying. Churches are closing. Churches are for sale within 10 miles of us. And if you want a church home, welcome home. Let's stand as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You and I praise You for this day. I ask You right now, God, breathe on this place. I know it's not been a salvation sermon. But God, maybe someone today watching by Facebook, listening by the radio, whatever, God, maybe today is the day that You said it's time for You to just give up. Just let Me love You. Maybe today somebody needs to join. If you need to join, start coming this way. Start coming this way. Maybe you need to rededicate. Say, hey, I want to be able to say I was glad. I am glad. I'm excited when it's time to go to church. Maybe you need to come and say that. Whatever your need might be, this is your time with Jesus. Amen. Let's sing. Or what page are we on, Sister Ernestine? 325? What's it? Footsteps of Jesus. Footsteps of Jesus. Maybe you'd like for me or one of the deacons to pray with you. Maybe a deacon's wife or my wife to pray with you. Hey, we'll be willing to do it different. One verse if nobody comes. Had we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make our pathway glow. Listen. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Amen. The Spirit of God's been here this morning, and I believe He's given us a message, and I'm just looking forward to 2023 with all of y'all. Anything else before we close? Don't forget, a 1 at 5 council tonight at after church, and then